timeless theme. Earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to see the only sound. Is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, so there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, it's a mansion prepared for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Amen. Yes. I'm looking forward to that place, aren't you? Amen. What a wonderful place. Thank you for that song. If you would please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100 with me. Psalm 100. And when you find your place there in the Scripture, if you'll stand with me as we read the Word of God. Psalm 100, there's five verses here. And what I'd like to do is read all five of these verses together in unison. We'll read it pausing at all the commas, colons, semicolons, periods. All five verses together. Psalm 100. And let's begin in verse number 1 all together. Let's read it. Here we go. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love for us. Lord, we're thankful for all the blessings that you've given us, and so many, Lord. Lord, ask now that we would meet together, as we meet together, that you would meet with us and speak to our hearts. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Use him in a mighty way. Fill him with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit that we might receive the word you have for us this morning. We love you. We'll give you all the praise and glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. May be seated. As we look at Psalm 100, one of those Thanksgiving Psalms, as you read that today, and I hope that there's scripture verses that really stick out to you in different areas, but in the area of being thankful. So we've been talking about being thankful a lot lately. Yes, and we're going to continue that as well. And as we have this Thanksgiving week, I enjoy this time and enjoy getting together with friends and family and loved ones and eating some good food as well. If you missed last Sunday, you missed the Thanksgiving feast story, so you might have to go back and watch that, not right now, but later. And the Bible says here, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. What a blessing that is. He is God, isn't he, church? And then it says this, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. You get a lot of doctrine and truth in these verses here alone. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. What a blessing that is. And the sheep of his pasture. We're the sheep and he is the shepherd. We're going to focus on verse number 4 this morning. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Entering into his gates with thanksgiving. As the previous verses talk about making a joyful noise, serving the Lord. And this verse talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. You think of this as a servant and maybe a king or the master of the house. And as that servant would come and maybe has a need, maybe reporting back in to his master, his king, his Lord. And as he enters into his gates, the Bible says, he should have thanksgiving. As you enter the gates, the entrance of that property, of maybe that building, as you open the gates, it should just make you, as you come near the Lord, to be thankful that you even get to come near and talk to God. As we even enter God's presence, as you enter church today, as you spent time with God in his word today, as you even came near the Lord, did you stop and just say, God, I'm not worthy, but I wanted to say thank you that I get to come boldly to the throne of grace and come and help and find help in time of need. You enter into his gates as the gates even open up and you say, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. Having thanksgiving, giving that thanks to God. And then as you enter the courts, as you come near and close to God, how can we, as we sing about God today, how can we not fall on our knees and just say, God, you've been so good. The coming verses says, would say this, be thankful in him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. Isn't he good today, church? He is good. And when you come near God, how can we not be thankful? As you enter his courts, how can you not come to him and bow on your knee? And every knee will bow before the name of God someday. You may not bow in this life, you will in the next, and you'll bow before God and realize he is the God of heaven, but you realize he is good. Many will not realize that until they enter eternity, that he is God, that he is the only way to heaven, and that he is good. And you enter his courts and you have praise. You humbly bow down on your knees and on your face and say, God is good. God is good. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. The Lord is good. So many truths from these verses today. As we enter this Thanksgiving time, I want you to think about being thankful. To think about being thankful. You say, we've talked about being thankful for a few weeks now. Yes, we will, and we have one more service. We have a Tuesday night service this week instead of Wednesday night to give people a time if they're traveling or getting things ready a couple days beforehand, whatever. And we'll have a Thanksgiving service on Tuesday night as well. The history of Thanksgiving, 102 pilgrims set sail for a new land, America. They wanted freedoms. They came to America, and we still seek those freedoms today. They set sail across the Atlantic Ocean for about 7 weeks, and they ate all the food that they had set apart for that trip, and they were running out of food. The storms were pushing them further and further north as they came on this journey, and they started dipping into their rations of when they landed in America, they were going to need food. They didn't have crops. They didn't have a grocery store. They didn't have Instacart and DoorDash and all these things just to bring them food to their doorstep. Do you realize how blessed we are? maybe how lazy we are, that we pull out a, you know, you pull out your phone, and it just shows up to your door. Food just shows up at the doorstep. And the pilgrims, they had come here, and all 102 of them made a safe voyage here. And as they entered the land, and they're going to have to start building homes and getting crops ready and all these things, and that first winter, almost half of them died. Almost half of them didn't even make it through the first winter. They met a couple of the Native Americans that were here, and they came, and the pilgrims didn't realize that where they came, and it was much further north than what they had planned, and they thought, well, we don't know where we're going, and they didn't know either way, probably, and God put them exactly where he wanted them, and there were some freshwater rivers running right through where they were, and they didn't notice why, but there was a 20-acre field that was already cleared out for someone to plant a crop there. They had no idea why. They'd find out later on. This winter, a couple of the Native American Indians came to them and helped them to plant some crops and helped them to grow and really kept them alive. And they probably would not have survived, and they helped to plant some crops, and they had such a bountiful harvest that next year they had their first Thanksgiving feast. And the pilgrims invited, and they had about 90 of the Native Americans there and had a feast together and celebrating this special meal together. That was in 1621. All the way fast forward to 1789, George Washington had a proclamation of Thanksgiving, and he says this, listen, as the first president of the United States of America, he says this, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them to an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, referring to God, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. That we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the civil and religious liberty which we all are blessed with, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. This was the first president, acknowledging the Almighty God of heaven. And he would set aside the 26th day of November. It would then be moved to the third Thursday of the month from Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation given shortly after the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, said, I do hereby appoint and set apart the last Thursday, November next, as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise, listen, to Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. And I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on that occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust, and from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great disposer of events for a return of the inestimable blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land, which it hath pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our posterity throughout all generations. You see God's hand upon our country, upon our leaders. And you think of that as they turn their prayers and their heart and their mind to the Almighty God of heaven to say, thank you, God, for everything that we have. May we stop as a nation and just say thanks to God. That doesn't happen as a nation if we don't do that individually. many times in our nation are holidays which are set apart to be a spiritual and a good time of remembrance to the Lord. Many times they get overtaken by the busyness of what God did not intend for these to be. I don't believe God set aside a day of Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving should be every day. I'm talking about the thanks and the meals. We should have all of that every day. The ladies are like, no, we're not doing that. It takes on average 9.6 hours to prepare the Thanksgiving meal. And I forget how many minutes it is to eat it. And we just go through and demolish it. You ever look at that and just go, I put all that work into like a few minutes to run off, and we still enjoyed it. We enjoyed it even that much more. It would take the average American male 10 hours on a treadmill to burn the 4,500 calories consumed at the average Thanksgiving meal. 10 hours? That's rough. Are you going to eat less or run more? Probably neither. On average, the person spending over the five-day Thanksgiving period is $321. Many times what is set aside to be a spiritual and a reverent time to God gets overtaken by shopping and parades and football and activities of things that are going on, where truly do we actually spend the Thanksgiving day being thankful? Or is it too busy with everything else that we don't have time for God? How sad would it be as a Christian that we don't stop and just say thank you to God as we enter into his gates, saying thank you to God as you enter the courts and saying praise be to the God of heaven. But too many times we pass those by. As we come to the Thanksgiving time, you think about that meal that you get to eat. And again, I'm not going to re-preach the Thanksgiving story, but you think about that main course that you get. But many times what makes that meal is all the sides that you put in there. And I want to talk to you this morning about the Thanksgiving sides, of the sides of being thankful. What do you get from being thankful? You realize that you are blessed by being a thankful person, right? We're blessed. There are many benefits that come to my life by just calling out to God and truly from my heart saying thank you to God. Being thankful, if you will, is the main course, but I want to talk about the sides again that come along with that. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. How many times do we come to God, and as we should, and saying, God, I have a need, I have a problem, God, I need your help, but instead of coming to God and saying, God, I want to start by just saying thank you. I want to start the day by saying thank you. I heard a message this week by a man that he said, every night I go to sleep by reading my Bible, and I wake up in the morning reading my Bible. And he said, at night as I put my Bible to the side, I read and put it to the side and say, good night, Lord. Have a good day. Good night, Lord. Thank you for the day. Just to talk to God and just say, thank you, Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Three things this morning I want to challenge you with from the Word of God. Thanksgiving brings, number one, contentment. Thanksgiving brings contentment. If you will, please turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. I want to look at a few verses from this passage today about being content. We live in a society today that is so uncontented. So uncontented. We live in a society with so much greed and covetousness for the next item instead of simply being content. If you think about it today, if you had a roof over your head, you have clothes to pick out from your closet, you had food in your fridge, you are more blessed than so much of this world today. You had a light switch to turn on, you had running water, you had all these things, but many times we don't look at what we have, we look at what we don't have. You all have needs today? I do. We have needs. Anyone have problems today? You don't have to raise your hand, but we all do. But many times we focus on what we don't have or the needs and all those things. And those are real. I'm not trying to make light of them. But maybe we be content. Listen to what God has given to you. To not be content is to not be happy with what God gave to you. Parents, you ever make that meal, mom or dad, and you take that meal and you put on the table, and your child, you labored over that meal, and you prepared for that meal, and you put it out beautifully on a plate, and you put it down, and what does your child say sometimes? Yuck. What's that? I don't want to eat that. And I'm like, hey, zip it. That means don't say another word. It's like we paid for that food. Your mom made you that food. You're going to eat that food. Amen? Really good. There we go. Be content. There's many that don't have that at all. We have options of what to eat. Many people today are just begging and grabbing for anything that they could have for just a bite to take them another day longer. Thankfulness truly brings contentment. Look at verse number Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want. Sorry if I didn't tell you where to go. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. Look at this. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. To be satisfied. You eat that meal and you think, oh, that's satisfied. Man, that just hit the spot. That's exactly what I needed. You ever had that craving for that dessert? Like you needed that cookie, like really bad to satisfy that craving, and then all of a sudden you were content. You know that God has given us so much. God has blessed us with so much, but there's so many people, Christians, that are just not content. Paul said, I've learned to be content. There's some times where I thought, oh, I don't want that. I didn't ask for that, Lord. I didn't like that in my life. But God, you realize, as a mature Christian, you realize, well, that's what God wanted. That must be what I needed. Like that kid that's like, oh, I don't want to eat that on the plate. And your mom or dad tells you, kids, you're going to eat it and you're going to like it, right? Like it or not, you're going to eat it either way. I remember as a kid sitting at the table, and my mom would say, you're not getting up until you finish it. You're going to eat it, and then you can get up. We don't do that as much today. I'm not sure what others do. I've learned, he says, to be content. In verse number 12, it says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, if you're not happy with what you have, you're not going to be happy with what you're going to get. If you're not content and happy with what God has given to you right now, you're not going to be happy with what you get later. If I only had the job and the home and the paycheck, if I only had all the things, well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But guess what? We'd just be spoiled, probably. If we had everything we ever wanted and ever needed, would you ever truly go to God in prayer and come to your Heavenly Father and say, God, I have a need today. Would you please provide for it? Thanking God for what He's already given to you. I read this, thankfulness and contentment go together like turkey and gravy. That's a great combo right there, isn't it? You got to have the gravy on the turkey, all right? You can't have one without the other, but thankfulness, it brings contentment. Satisfied, blessed with what God has given to me. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The God can and has and will provide for your needs. Be content with what God has given to you. Be content when God has given it to you. 1 Timothy 6, we won't have you turn there. Verse 6 through 8, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment equals great gain. There's a math problem for you kids, all right? You add godliness and you add contentment and you have great gain. You say, I don't have a whole lot. You're godly and you're content. You have everything that you need. You say, but I don't have everything that I want. No. Everything that you need. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. Remember that. And it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The following verses would talk about falling into that snare, that love of riches, that love for money, that's going to fall into deceitful and hurtful lust. The Bible says to have contentment. Christian, today, are you truly thankful? If you're thankful, you're content. Or are you always needing more? Always wanting more? If I have more things, then I'll be happy. No. If you're thankful for what you have, then you're happy. Then you realize how blessed you are because it came from God. Do you look at what you have or do you look at what you don't have? Do you look at what God has given to you or do you look at what everyone else has and what you need from God? We all have needs. I'm not against coming to God with our needs. He wants to hear the needs of His children. but be content with what you have. Not what you're going to get, what you want, but what you have. Thankfulness brings contentment. Number two, thankfulness brings peace. Thankfulness brings peace. In Philippians 4, if you're there still, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Actually, I'm sorry, go back to verse number 6. I was reading verse number 7, getting ahead of myself. Philippians 4, 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Be worried, be anxious about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thankfulness brings contentment, but it also brings peace. God said to go to Him with your needs, with a heart of thanksgiving. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Do you have peace in your heart today, Christian? Do you have peace in your heart? You say, well, look at the world around me. But do you have peace in your heart as a Christian, knowing that God is in control, that God has given you everything that you need, that we have peace with God? Do you have peace with God in your heart? Well, how do you find peace with God? First of all, by knowing that you're a Christian, knowing that you're saved and going to heaven, knowing that no matter what happens in this life, that when you pass from this life to the next, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, to be in heaven for all eternity. What a peace that a Christian has in their hearts to know that you will be with God for all eternity because you're saved. Not because you're a good person, not because you go to church and read your Bible and do the good things, but you have peace in your heart knowing that you are saved and a child of God. Do you have peace in your hearts? This Bible says it will keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Thankfulness truly brings peace. You say, but you don't know my family. You can't have peace in my family. You do when you kick them out of the house and you lock the door. Then you can have peace and quiet. No, but truly, even in the midst of trouble, you can have peace in your heart. You say, but you don't know how my family... You can still have peace in your heart. But you don't know my situation, but you can still have peace in your heart. But you don't know what I'm going through. You can still have peace in your heart, which the Bible says passeth all understanding. How could you truly have peace in your heart with what you're going through? Because it comes from God. It's nothing that you can generate on your own. It's nothing that the world can give you, the peace that only comes from God. Even in the midst of troubles, you can lay your head on your pillow at night and say, I have peace with God because God's in control. Amen? Knowing that God's in control, you can have peace in your heart knowing that God has the answers to your needs. Have peace in your heart knowing that if you ask of God, that God is able and willing to answer all the needs that you have. He has all the riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you can have peace in your heart. So thankfulness, it brings contentment. Thankfulness, it brings peace in your heart that no one else or nothing can give you but God. Thankfulness, thirdly, it brings joy. Turn back, if you would, please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Thankfulness truly brings joy. Do you have joy in your heart this morning? Amen? Do you truly have joy? I can't say I always have joy. I can't say I'm always happy and a song in my heart. I can't say I'm always excited, but there's a joy that comes in your heart when you're right with God and when you have a heart of thankfulness. In Psalms 100, it says, make a what? Joyful noise. See, if you can't sing good, you can still have a joyful noise, all right? Make a joyful noise unto who? The Lord. And who should do that? What's the last part of that? All ye lands. We should have joy in our hearts, the Bible says, making a joyful noise to the Lord. And who should be giving joy to God? Everyone. All his lands, all his children. We should have joy in the Lord. The Bible says in the next verse, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. As a Christian, we have nothing to complain about. Amen? We have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to argue about. I have nothing to be bitter and angry about. You can have joy in your heart. knowing that you're saved each and every day. What a blessing that is. To have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, having the Word of God, what a blessing that is. A joy to get to come to church this morning. A joy to get to have family to go home to. A joy to have health and strength. And when you come to God, how can we not be joyful? Do you ever just break out singing a good song? A spiritual song and singing to the Lord? You ever go through the grocery store and you start singing, you start humming, and you start thinking, I wonder if anyone else is listening. You think, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I want to sing and be joyful as a Christian. And guess what? Everyone should know it. As a Christian, they should know that there's joy in my heart, that there's gladness. And guess what? I believe this, that if you have joy in your heart, you know that you're saved, you're going to heaven. I believe as a Christian, it should put a smile on our faces. I believe that it should just make us be thankful. And when you go out, you say, thank you, thank you, thank you. We should be thankful. Why? It brings joy in my heart. Someone drops, you know, a coffee on you, thank you for that. Maybe it's sincere, maybe it's not. You get a flat tire, thank you, Lord. I need, you know, truly being thankful. You know, say, God, I must have needed that today. Thank you. Singing to the Lord, lifting up your voice. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. People should hear all around us that you're happy to be a Christian. Amen? Happy to be a Christian. Put a smile on your face. Have joy in your heart. The Bible says in Psalms 95, I'm going to read a number of verses. You can turn there if you'd like. Psalm 95, just a page back. It says, oh, come. I'll give just a moment here. It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Isn't he great, church? In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if he will hear his voice. Church, today we should come before him with gladness, with singing. Why? Because he is God, and we are his people. Think about that. He is God, and we are his people. As we started the message this morning, as you enter his gates, do you come with thanksgiving? When you come before his courts, do you come before him with praise? There's no way to come before his courts, his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, and not leave being content. Saying, God, I may not have everything that I want. I may not have everything that I need. And I'm asking you for it, but I'm content with whatever you've given to me. I'm content. So I'll be content when my situation changes. No, no, no. Content right here and right now. Are you content? Thankfulness, it brings contentment. There's no way to enter the gates with thanksgiving, the courts with praise, and leave and not having peace in your heart. Knowing God's in control, that God has a plan, that God will take care of it. And there's no way to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, than to leave with joy in your heart. Joy remembering God's faithfulness, joy thinking about God's goodness, joy thinking about God's promises. I'll read this as we finish this morning. Charles Spurgeon said this about joy. There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful, unless if, as a kid, your parents gave it to you in a spoonful of jelly. This generation doesn't know anything about that. It says, most medicines are distasteful, but this is the best of all medicines. It is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. One person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing whenever he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. Do you have that kind of joy today? That bad spirit, it seems to just take over, doesn't it? But that joyous spirit can really take over as well. You think, things aren't going the way that I wanted. That's okay. We can still be content. But I want to have peace in your heart. Have joy in your lips, thanking God. Are you truly content with what God has given to you? Try being thankful. Do you truly have peace in your heart? Try being thankful. Do you truly have joy in your life? Try being thankful. If you stop for a minute and think about it, we have so much to thank Him for, to praise Him for. Why? Because He is good. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your word, and thank You, Lord, for being so good to us. We have every reason in the world to come to You and just say thank You for Your goodness. Most importantly, for the matter of our salvation. Lord, for those of us that know that we're saved to go into heaven, 100% certainty in You and Your word and Your saving power. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know You as their Savior, without a shadow of a doubt, not sure if they go to heaven or hell, just not sure about it, I pray that today they would leave having that contentment, having that peace, having that joy of knowing they're a child of God. If there's anyone in this room this morning that would say, I don't know that I'm saved. I can't say for sure I know I'm going to heaven based on the word of God that Jesus died to pay for my sins and by grace through faith alone, receiving in my heart as my only way of going to heaven. If you don't know that today, would you slip your hand up so we can have a word of prayer for you? We'd love to show you from the word of God in a separate room and show you carefully what God says, how you can know for sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you don't know that, slip your hand up real quick and put it down. I'd love to share that with you. That'd be the greatest day of your life, the day of your salvation. For those that know that they're saved today, and that's a testimony of everyone in this room this morning, may we start every day saying thank you to God for being a Christian. Thank you, God, every day for knowing that you're saved and go into heaven. We have so much more to thank Him for after that as well. When we're thankful, it truly breeds contentment, peace, and joy, and really much more in our lives. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet as we begin the invitation time? As God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. It's a time to come and kneel and pray and talk to the Lord. You don't have to come, but it's open. You can sit and pray at your seat there. If you need someone to pray with, you have a question about membership, getting baptized, or your salvation, you can come and see Brother James, and we'll have someone help you with those as well. As the ladies begin to play, would you come? Just tell the Lord thank you. Say, I've not been very content lately. Try being thankful. Say, I've not had a whole lot of joy in my life lately. You don't know how things have been. Try being thankful. Say, I don't really have peace in my heart. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Just be thankful. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. As you're standing or sitting there, or as you're kneeling, let's just make sure to tell God thank you. Would you enter His gates right now and just say, God, it's been a while. Or maybe I told you this morning, I'd like to tell you again, thank you. Just want to praise Your name. Again, we'll have another verse of the invitation. If you need to come and you have a question about your salvation, could we show you from the Word of God how you could know that for sure today? Maybe you have a question about baptism or church membership. May we help you with that? Come forward and we'll take you aside and show you from the Word of God. For Your goodness. May we go throughout the day. May You hear it often. Thank You. Praising God. May it be on our lips and on our heart all throughout the day. Praising our God. Thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for Your love and Your mercy as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening so carefully this morning. A couple announcements and we'll get you on your way. Tonight at the evening service, 6 o'clock, a couple blessings for you. We have our school night tonight. Our young people will be participating in the service, singing and quoting scripture verses. We're looking forward to that. Service tonight at 6 o'clock. And another blessing, we have a dessert auction after the service tonight. If you don't want to make desserts this week, you can buy your desserts. It's a fundraiser for our school. If you have desserts, you want to get prepped for Thanksgiving, you can come and buy them tonight and get ready. Again, you don't want to come into Thanksgiving on a diet, and so you need a prep for that. That's probably spiritual, I'm sure. And so we have the dessert auction, again, a fundraiser for our school. Looking forward to that. This Tuesday night, we have our midweek service. It's moved to Tuesday at 6:30. We're going to have everyone combined in here. We'll have everyone here. We'll have teen class, bus, King's Kids, everyone here for a short service, a time of Thanksgiving again. And so we're looking forward to that Tuesday night at 6:30. Give you time to get that turkey ready for another 2 days after that. Saturday, soul winning at 9:30. We have the God's creation calendars. Are those here? Not yet. Okay. Hopefully next week we sold out of them so quickly. We'll try to get those coming up here in a little bit as well. And I believe that are all the announcements we have today. So let's have a word of prayer for the service today as we dismiss. And Brother Allen, would you come close in prayer this morning?
Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for today, Lord. We are a thankful people, but we certainly need to be more thankful. Help us to be mindful each and every day of our lives for the things that you provide for us and your love. Be with us now as we head out this afternoon. Bring us back safely this evening. In Christ's name, amen.